Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's God's house. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. The text for this morning's message is found in the book of Acts, chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible or one from the pew rack. As I read, Acts 18, verses 1 through 11. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews deposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack or harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. You know, in Sunday school, those of you who've been coming to our opening assembly know that for the past 3 weeks, Jimmy has been talking about different parts of the Bible in a spiritual context. He talked about spiritual eyes, then spiritual feet, and today he talked about spiritual ears. Well, I want us to talk about a spiritual second wind. You know, after exerting oneself through physical activity, whether it's recreation or labor, quite often a person becomes winded and tired. And when such occurs, how many have you said or have heard someone say, "I need to catch my second wind"? Now, this is a phrase particular to my age group, so some of you young people may not hear that very often or may not have heard it. But it means the person needs to take a break, to catch their breath, to sit down and rest for a few moments. And after a few moments of rest, he or she is usually ready to tackle a task with renewed vigor and determination. Well, likewise, events occur in a person's life which produces mental and emotional fatigue. At one time or another, all of us, I dare say, have become depressed. At one time or another, we may have wanted to give up and quit the task at hand. And in the heat of the moment, sometimes we'll say, "Well, I'll quit my job," or "I'll leave this church," or "I'll leave the family." Often we feel as if there is no use or purpose in continuing the effort that we've been making. And the harder we try, the worse things become. And we may say, "I'm not witnessing anymore. No one is listening. It's just as if I'm spinning my wheels Or occasionally we think, I shall never find happiness. Life is just a daily grind. It's mundane and repetitive. And I know these feelings occur for two reasons. One, many of you relate the experiencing them yourselves. And I certainly experience them. Sometimes God's people need a spiritual second wind. We're tired, stressed, depressed, and discouraged with the task that God has assigned to us. And I want us to listen as I offer some examples. Moses was perhaps the greatest leader of the nation of Israel. And he was chosen by God himself, and he had God's power in his life. Yet we read in the book of Numbers where Moses spoke to God and said, if this is how you're going to treat me, put me to death right now if I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin. Joshua, the great general, was handpicked by God to lead Israel into the promised land. Yet Joshua said, after being defeated at the battle of Ai, if only we had been content to stay on the other side of Jordan. In other words, he's saying after this defeat, so this is the reward we receive for serving God. And Joshua wished to quit. Elijah was the great prophet in the Old Testament, and he challenged the idolatry of his day. He called down fire from heaven, and he won a face-off with the prophets of Baal. Yet in 1 Kings, after the battle was over, and he was being chased by persons sent out by Jezebel to kill him, Elijah said, I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. We speak of the patience and faith of Job. We had a Bible study for approximately 10 or 12 weeks on Job, and we know of his patience. We know of his faith. We know he had a great beginning and a great ending to his life, but in between, when he lost everything, Job wished he had never been born. He became suicidal and was extremely depressed for a period of time, and in Job chapter 3, he said, may the day of my birth perish. Jonah, one of God's prophets, asked God to kill him. He was spiritually depressed and was not happy that so many people had been saved at Nineveh. And then we come to the Apostle Paul. During his second missionary journey, he experienced depression. He was fatigued, alone, spiritually stressed, and had a sense of failure. Frustrated, he left Athens, a city of idolatry, and headed for Corinth, the worst city in the world at that time for immorality. Corinth was truly sin city. Located in Corinth was the temple of Aphrodite, the sex goddess, and 1,000 prostitutes sold their bodies around the ruins of the temple in the name of religion. At this point in his trip, Paul had been beaten and jailed at Philippi, persecuted at Thessalonica and Berea, ridiculed in Athens, and now he had to deal with the sinfulness of Corinth. He was at a low point in his life, a crossroads in his ministry, and Paul was considering quitting. But God came to Paul and told him, trying times are not the time to quit trying. And as we know from our text, that Paul did not quit. He continued because God promised to help Paul. Well, how did God help Paul, and how does he help us gain a spiritual second wind. Well, God provided help by making three promises to Paul and to us. And the first promise is the promise of God's presence. This promise is reiterated throughout the Bible, but in our text, in verse 10, God tells Paul, "For I am with you." In Hebrews, we read, "God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." The Gospel of Matthew is like two beautiful bookends. In the very beginning, Matthew writes that the Lord said Mary's child would be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And at the end of his writing, Matthew records the Great Commission, which contains Jesus' promise, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." When we are suffering, loneliness, discouragement, sickness, financial reversal, heartaches, depression, and family problems, I wish us to remember the beautiful song that Becky sang not too long ago and had sung before that. It tells us that the God on the mountain is still the God in the valley. Jesus is with us when we are in the valley. John 11:35 states that Jesus wept. And why was Jesus weeping? Lazarus, his dearest friend, had died. And although Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, in the meantime, his heart did ache. Jesus is in the valley with us, as I said. He's with us in death. When our time comes, Jesus comes to us and removes the fear of the unknown. We have the promise of God's presence. Second, we have the promise of God's protection. Again, in verse 10 of our text, Jesus instructs us, "For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you." Now, Jesus did not state that Paul would never hurt, that he'd never suffer, that he'd never have heartaches, that he'd never feel bad. He just says, while you are doing this work for me in Corinth, you will be protected. You will not be harmed. And although Paul was killed by the Romans, it wasn't until he was able to say, "I have finished my course." Although Jesus was killed by his own people, the Jews, he was not killed until he could say, "It is finished." God has a purpose for my life, for your life. And if we choose, we can live that life fearlessly. There will be persecution. There will be trials. There will be hardships that we must endure. But until our work is done, God is not finished with us. Satan cannot stop us. Man cannot stop us. Sickness and disease cannot stop us. God alone will call us home in His time. So it's reassuring to know that nothing can happen without God's permission. As Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, to live in Christ is gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Our attitude should be, God, I'm going to work here and do what you want me to do until you call me home. But I'll serve you wholeheartedly while I am here. When God is ahead of us, He's our guide. When He's behind us, He's our God. When He's under us, we're in His everlasting arms. And when He's above us, He's always with us in a cloud of glory. But let me tell you this. If we are not saved, then we do not have God's protection in this life, and we will not have it in eternity. We must accept that gift of salvation before our time on this earth ends. Third, we have the promise of God's potential. Again, looking at verse 10, we read, and this is God speaking to Paul, I have many people in this city. Well, how can God make such a statement? History, not only biblical history, but secular history records that there were very few Christians in Corinth when Paul went from Athens to Corinth. But this statement embodies the promise of God's potential. God did not see the perverts living in Corinth for what they were. God saw them for what they were to become. Years later, we learn, as we read in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, what happened to many of these Corinthians. Listen as I read. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Are we distressed by events occurring in the world today? Are you unhappy with your job? Are you depressed with the programs that you see on television and with the movies that are shown in the theaters in our communities? Do the leaders of our country disappoint you? View these happenings and these feelings as God sees them. He sees them in the future. Today, God is telling Ephesus Baptist Church, when you go to Walmart, when you go to Home Depot and Cracker Barrel and Brian's and Applebee's and anywhere you go, God says, I have many people in this area. And when you see these people, you have to ask yourselves two questions. Is he or she one of the future children of God? And question number two, what can I do to make sure they become children of God? That's our job. That's the Great Commission. God sees the potential. As a believer, do you need a spiritual second wind? You can certainly receive it. You receive it by claiming the promises of God's protection, of His presence, and of His potential. And if you do so, if you claim these promises, you will catch a spiritual second wind which will help you continue to serve God's kingdom effectively here on earth in spite of Satan's attempts to distract us. And if you've not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I invite you to do so today. Then you can claim the promises of God for your life of service to Him. You can ask God to provide a spiritual second wind when life threatens to overwhelm you, to give you that extra strength to deal with Satan and his minions here. To repel him, to rebuke him. We give you that opportunity today to come forward and say, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. I want to serve him. And I know that it's not going to be an easy task, but I also know that if I claim the promises he made, I can get a spiritual second wind and I can continue to fight the good fight. We invite you to come as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 287, Take My Life, Lead Me.